All right. Good morning. Well, it is good to be here and good to be back in Sherrall, South Carolina. And we were here last year, but for a different reason. But we're glad to be here for this area. And of course, my grandmother grew up. She was, and my grandfather were from Jefferson and Pageland. And so it's kind of this same area here, and so it's kind of nostalgic to be in this area, but there's probably some sort of relative, some way, form, or fashion still in this area. Who knows? But I want to thank you again for the opportunity, and this week we're going to be focusing on missions, but I want it to be really to see what the Lord's going to do in your own heart. Every time we come to church, every time we come and hear God's Word, I should say, it should be in a way to prepare us for how God is going to change us or work in our life and through us to be able to carry the gospel to people around us. You know, Pastor Benj mentioned the countries that don't know, they've never heard. And there are a lot of countries in the world that's illegal to be in to give the gospel. There are countries where it's illegal to be there as a missionary. So missionaries go in different ways to get into those closed access countries through teaching, through business efforts and things of that nature to be able to share the gospel with the people there. But right here in Sherrall, there are people who've never heard the true gospel. They've heard about God. They've heard God's name in a derogatory way, maybe. But there are people all around us that need to hear the gospel. And that's the focus of this. Now, we're going to talk about missions and missionaries. And we're going to look at some of the things in the Bible about missions and missionaries. And my wife and I, we've been missionaries. We started in 2004 and on deputation. And went to Haiti and started churches and schools. And we started a school for the deaf there and had a lot of different things going on. And then God moved us from that. And now we I'm the director, general director for the mission board there. We have 32 missionaries in 16 different countries. And several of those are in closed access countries. And so they have to be careful as the information they send out. If you go to our website for our mission board, you will not see them on there because they have to be very, very careful as to why and where they are in those countries. And so we have to pray for them, pray for our missionaries. And so we're excited to be here, and we're leave here and go to Massachusetts to be in two different missions conferences there and then to Pennsylvania. So this is exciting to be able to talk about missions, and I love talking about missions and preaching about missions. And so you get one of our prayer cards back there on the table. For 20 years, well, let's see, yeah, 20, a little over 20 years now, this is the kid-free edition. So we have four kids, and we started with three on our prayer card, then we had four kids on the prayer card. The one wasn't born. We just didn't choose to. It wasn't like we chose not to put them on there. But anyway, we had started with three, then with four kids, and then got down to two of the kids, and then now it's just my wife and I. And we look so alone on here. So be sure to pray for us as missionaries. So, but anyway, it is a blessing to have those people pray for us. And you know, sometimes you really don't know how to pray for missionaries, and there's a lot of things that we deal with, and we travel all over the place, and just calling our name out before the Lord, because He knows our needs at the time that we have those. And so just calling the name of the missionaries out is a blessing. So, but tonight we're going to show, I'll show a video, so make sure you come back tonight so you can watch the video that talks about us and our mission board and what we're doing in the world to spread the gospel to the lost and dying world. And in our video, there is a very unique historical fact that relates missions to World War II. And so if you're interested in World War II, you may know about this or may not know about that, but that'll be in the video tonight, and I hope you'll be back for that. If you don't come back, I'll just assume you're mad at me and you didn't show up because you're mad at me. So that's where we'll go forward. So just kidding. But anyway, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 is where we find the beginning of missions. And, you know, to really understand something, we have to understand the history and the beginnings of it. And sometimes in our life, you know, we can look at our the history of our family, for example. You know, like my last name is Peart, P-E-A-R-T, and it's mispronounced a lot. and it's, you know, it's probably mispronounced more times than it's pronounced correctly. But the history of the name, it used to be spelled with an I, like fishing pier. And boy, that would have been a lot simpler because I think it would have been easier for people to pronounce it correctly. But for some reason, it changed in 1903 in the census. They changed the spelling of the name, and I don't know why, but never have been able to figure out why. But that's the history of our name. And so everything has a history to it. And to understand the beginnings and understand what was going on helps us to be able to align our focus and align our goals and objectives. And that's where we come to the history of missions. Acts chapter 13, really it's verses 1 through 12, give the first appearance of a missionary team that goes out. Excuse me, they go to a foreign country and they spread the gospel. And so that's where we're at. And I want us just to read just a few verses. Really, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 this morning and see what God has for us through His Word this morning. But let's look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherewith unto I have called them, whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your word and how powerful and true it is. And Lord, all morning this morning, from the opening prayer to the songs to the scripture being read to the children's moment until now, Lord, it's been centered around your word, and I thank you for that. Help me, Lord, to preach as you see fit. Use me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want us to look at a couple of things, and of course, we're going to do a little bit of a grammar study this morning. I love to teach history. That's what I taught, history and Bible, in school when I taught school years ago, and I love teaching history, love learning about historical things and using historical stories as illustrations and all. I love that part of it. And grammar is very, very important. A lot of times, you know, it's not a strong point. I don't have that strong, you know, and math is not a great subject for me either. Does anybody out here love math? Okay. Well, you see, that's the thing. Just one person is willing to admit they love math. So anyway, we'll have an altar call later on for you. I told Pastor Benj that we were talking, we ate Friday, I think it was, we got a coffee and everything. And they got iced coffee, and I said, I'll be sure to have an altar call for you this week for iced coffee. I don't know. It's not meant to be. That's not meant to be, to put ice in coffee. I don't know. But anyway, it's okay. But the fact is that grammar is a very important thing. And a lot of times, it's important. I tell young people, read your Bible and study your Bible and think of it in sentences. Look for complete sentences in the Bible. Because a lot of times people take portions of sentences that may be one verse. Our Bible is written, and our English Bible has verses and chapters, but that those verses are not always sentences, complete sentences. Sometimes it may be two or three verses, could be one sentence. And so to get the complete understanding of what God was saying, we need to get the complete thought of that sentence. And so sentences are very important, complete sentences. And pronouns, to figure out who it's who, what, or the thing that it's replacing the noun from, and what it's talking about and what it's explaining. And so that's what I want us to look this morning at, the pronoun they. The pronoun they occurs multiple times in these five verses. And that's what I want us to look at and associate with. First of all, if you look in verse number 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So that first they that we see there refers to the church, the group of people that were meeting together. Now, we don't know how big the church at Antioch was. The Bible tells us a few little details about the church at Antioch, but it doesn't tell us a whole lot about it. There are some traditional things that we can learn through different historical writings and things of that nature about some of the characteristics and some of the things about Antioch. But the Bible doesn't tell us too much about it, but it does say these people were in that church, and it says they were ministering. And the church is so very important. You see, the church is where mission starts. That's where it is crucial. Jesus died for the church. Now, it's not the building. Although you have a lovely building, you have a beautiful building, you've kept it up. We've been in a lot of churches where they haven't really kept things up to date and modernized and things like that. But you all have done wonderful. Your building's beautiful here. But God forbid that something were to happen to this building and it burned down. You could still go out in the parking lot. You could be under the trees back here and you could have church. Why? Because the church is the people. You are the church, the called out assembly, the group of believers that meets together. That's what a church is. And a church, that group of people, in Haiti we started two churches and both times we started under tarps. And the first one, we sewed rice sacks together and strung them between the trees, and that's what we used for a tarp, and that's where we started our first church. The second church, I brought a brown tarp. I bought it, I bought it at Tractor Supply, I think. And I bought that tarp, and I brought it over, and they had seen blue tarps. You see blue tarps, and things like that. And I bought this brown one because it was a thicker material and supposed to last longer. And the Haitians were so amazed. They said, Pastor Harry, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. Nobody has brown for their tarps. And look, we have this brown tarp. It's so beautiful. And they were enamored at that. And another instance, we worked with Missionary Flights International. And they got a bunch of those billboard signs. They print them on these big tarp things and put them up, And they got a bunch of those sign tarps donated. And all we had to do was pay the weight and the customs. And we got them over there because I was going to use that for like a side of my church, put that up because we didn't have a building yet. And they didn't tell us what were on the signs. And we got that billboard thing up there, and lo and behold, it had an advertising thing on it, you know, and it was all in English and everything. So I put that up there, and I had that tarp up there, and I thought, oh, my word, what are they going to think about this? And they came, and they said, Pastor Harry, this is so wonderful. This wall, our wall of our church has one of God's creatures on it. And I thought, well, okay, that's one way to look at it. And they said, it's beautiful. Nobody else has this. It has one of God's creatures on there. And so our church, on the side of the wall, it said, Geico will save you 15% or more. And the Geico gecko was on there. That was the wall of our church building, you know. And we had that for months and months, you know. We had that. It was, you never know what's going to take place, you know. But the people, that's what the church is. God, Jesus died for the church. He died for people. He didn't die for the government. You know, he didn't die for the school system, institution of the school. He didn't die for businesses. He didn't die. He died for the church, the people. And that's what God gave the Great Commission to. When you look at all five instances where Jesus spoke to a group of people after the resurrection, he walked on the earth for 40 days and he spoke to five different groups of people, five different locations, and said five different things. Each of those were one-fifth of the aspects of the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, you can see all five places. And it's not until you combine all five of his statements together that you understand completely what the Great Commission is. It's going to every person on the earth, every place on the earth, and giving the truth of the gospel and teaching those people how to replicate that over and over and over again. Every part about it. And it's the amazing thing is through the authority of God the Father. And so as we look into the history and we see here the church, verse number 2 and 3, the Bible says verse 3, and when they, talking about the church, had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, and sent them away. And this is the responsibility of the church, is to send the missionary away. Now, we can know that there is a church that sends missionaries, and that becomes their ecclesiastical authority. We were sent out of Liberty Baptist Church in Inman, South Carolina. That was our sending authority. Our pastor is our authority. At our mission board in Memphis, we are not a sending agency. We are a support agency. We help the church. In fact, our logo here says a servant to the local church, because we serve the local church. We serve the church and the missionary. We help the missionary. And that is the key, is that it's through the church. The church is so vitally important to getting the gospel out. You are the church. So you represent that first they. Then as we come on down, verse number 4, the Bible says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. So the second they refers to the church. To the missionary. The first one refers to the church. The second they refers to the missionaries. So the church sends out these missionaries. And by the way, a missionary is not the pastoral staff. It's not the pastoral staff of the church, because the pastoral staff is here at the church, in the church body, to the shepherd, the bishop, the overseer of the church. But a missionary goes out and goes away. Now, we can talk about home mission and foreign missions and things like that, but a missionary goes away from the church. You know, when we were at our furlough and we'd come back in the States, we would be at our home church every once in a while, And we would help out. We would try to schedule things to where we'd be there to help with special days and VBS and things like that. We would make sure we were local there. But most of the time we were gone. I was speaking at different churches, representing our mission and everything, giving report as Paul and Barnabas did when they came back after their first missionary journey. They rehearsed before the church all the things they had seen and done for the glory of God. And that's what we did. And we weren't there a lot because the missionaries are gone out. They go out to the different places and they go to spread the gospel in areas where they don't have a gospel witness. And so that's what they did. It's interesting. They go to Seleucia and then they sail to Cyprus. Now, Cyprus was Barnabas' home country. In chapter 4 of the book of Acts, he sold his property and laid it at the apostles' feet and gave that as an offering to help take care of the believers that were there in Jerusalem at the time. And then chapter 5, there was a husband and wife. They tried to do that and didn't end so well for them. But Barnabas went back and tried to reach his own people. Sometimes reaching your own people is the most difficult thing to do. Maybe you have children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, cousins, and you've witnessed to them over and over, and it's just like it's falling on deaf ears. Sometimes it is so very difficult to reach our own people that sometimes someone else coming in saying the exact same thing makes the difference. My son, my grandson was talking about my son that was in the military, and he's in the South Carolina National Guard, and he is a pilot for Apache helicopters right outside of Columbia. And let me say this. I was the perfect parent before I had kids. And then it's like everything I said my kids will not do, that became their bucket list. I mean, I can't believe, James Dobson led me wrong or something. I don't know. I'm trying the best, you know. But I tried and tried with my son. He was very strong-willed. The U.S. Army did in 8 weeks what I tried my best to do for 18 years. I mean, he came out of there a changed man. He really did. And he strayed away from the Lord. And then when my grandson was born, that snapped him back into reality that, hey, I've got to raise this kid so that he knows the Lord and get him back in church. And he's very active. He works with the youth there at their church there in Columbia. And I praise the Lord for that. But he was telling me some of the same things that I told him, that those drill sergeants told him, and I'm like, that's what I said. I just said that. But it was somebody else telling him, And he told me one day, he said, you know what, Dad? He said, it was amazing because we decided to tithe. And he said, I found out that if I'm just faithful and just give the tithe the first thing, that it just somehow works out the rest of it. And I'm like, yeah, I've been preaching that your whole life. I've been preaching that and you just got it from your pastor there. And I'm like, and so I just said, well, praise the Lord. But sometimes listening to somebody else say the same thing, it makes a difference. Now, let me tell you this. You've got lost loved ones. You've got unsaved family members. You've got children. Pray that the Lord will send a soul winner to them. We can pray, Lord, save so-and-so. Lord, save so-and-so. He's willing. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He wants them to be saved. But they've got to have someone present the gospel they'll listen to. Pray for, what did Jesus say? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray for a soul winner that will connect with them so that they will. And that's what these missionaries did. They went out. They weren't there at the local church. They went out other places, and that's what missionaries do. The church sends them. Notice what it says. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. In ways that our church has to help missionaries, we pray for them, we provide for them, and we encourage them. And we support them and send them out. And so that they can do the work that they're able to do. Some missionaries, you go to some countries and you're not able to work. You cannot work legally in those countries. So we have to support them. And that's what you do through your missions program. And your missions program should grow every year. It should keep growing and growing and growing because the need is growing and growing and growing. And so that's what the church did. They sent them out and they supported them in many different ways as you read later on through the book of Acts and you understand how, and through the epistles you understand how they ministered to them and how they helped them and how they supported them. So we have the first they, verse number 2, and verse number 3, it says, and when they, that refers to the church. The second they refers to the missionaries. Verse number 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they, the missionaries, sailed to Cyprus. And when they, the missionaries, were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue and had John Mark also to their minister. So there's a third they. It refers to a third group of people. See if you can find that. Well, I get a drink of water here. The first they refers to the church. The second they refers to the missionaries. The third they, it's not there. You know why? Because they said that's the best restaurant. They have the best food there. They say that if you get sick, you can drink this concoction. It'll help your throat. Oh, they said don't go eat over there because that's a terrible... Who is they? Who is they they're talking about? We don't even know. They said if you go down there, you can... Who is they? It's the invisible they. The people we never see, the people we never hear from, the people we rely on because we take that idea of they said this is a good restaurant and you go there and you're like, this is the worst food I've ever tasted. Who are they? They don't know what they're talking about. They said go here, they said go there. Who is they? I'll tell you this, if you wait on they, the invisible they, to reach the lost in Sherall, it'll never get done. If you wait on they to increase your missions giving, it'll never get done. If you wait on they to start praying for your relatives so the soul winner would go, it'll never get done. If you wait on they to pray for your missionaries and encourage your missionaries and send a card to your missionary, it'll never get done. Why? Because you have to be responsible for fulfilling your part of the Great Commission. Jesus gave that. And you know, it's interesting. In the epistles, Paul gives a few different examples. And he gives some qualities and qualifications. And he gives some job titles and things like that. There are some that have pastor, teacher, they're evangelist. You know, those types of things. And it's a list of skilled things that God gives. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew? He didn't give that those qualities and that you have to have this resume and all this kind of stuff, you know. He just said, I just need laborers. I just need plain people just to go out there and do what they're supposed to do. I just need laborers. You know what? You're getting ready to have a work day November the 1st. You probably don't need a lot of skilled laborers that day. You just need hands over here to start picking up stuff and pulling weeds or whatever you're going to do. You know, and our church back in Memphis, they're having a work day, I think this coming Saturday. I think they're going to clean up this fence row behind the church building and everything. And I said, praise the Lord, I'll pray for you because we won't be there. But they're going to have a work day that morning, then a bonfire that evening for all that stuff they pick up. You know, they're going to burn it and everything out in the thing. But you don't really need a lot. You just need people to show up and say, I'll just be willing to go out. I'll just be willing to go out. You know, there's a lot of times I speak to people and I talk to people and I have no idea what to say. Those in the ministry, pastors and things, you could relate to this. Sometimes people come to you, they tell you certain things that you wish you'd never heard, but they're coming to ask for advice. And sometimes they tell you things, and you just take a deep breath and slowly let it out because you're praying, Holy Spirit, help me to know what to say next. Because you don't know what to say. You don't know. You've never been in that circumstance. You don't even know. And they're coming asking for advice, and you're sitting there saying, I don't even know. And you go and you talk to people, and you invite them to church, and they ask you a question that you have no idea how to answer. And you get to say, I don't know, but I guarantee my pastor knows, so come down Sunday and ask him that question. And then let him, watch him squirm and try to figure out the answer to the question. Peter said, be ready to give the hope, the reason for the hope that lieth within us. I don't know about that, but what I do know is Jesus changed my life. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that changed my life. Before, it was just a list of do's and don'ts and working, trying to do right. But after, it was a desire to serve the Lord and a relationship with a living God. The creator of the universe cares so much about me that he wants to talk to me every day. If we wait on they to do our part, it'll never get done. We must do our part and give the gospel. There are people in Sherall that need to be in church. There are probably people that normally are in church that should be here this morning, and maybe they're providentially hindered or traveling or whatever, I don't know. But I guarantee you some of it has to do with sin and laziness even. Why they're not in church. But they need to be in church. And we need to give the gospel. We need to give that invitation. We need to find out. And here is the best part about it. God has not called you to all the regions of the world. He's called you to right here. Now, He may call you later on to go to a different region. But right now, I'm pretty sure everybody here lives in this area. This is your Jerusalem. This is where God has you. God has you. And if you know the truth, if you know the gospel, it's your responsibility to get the gospel to people in this area. And we've got to get busy. I don't think we have much time left. We've got to get busy. And there's enough false religions out there that we need to share the truth of God's word. How do we do that? We look for our one person. We look at the masses sometimes and get overwhelmed. But when we look at one person and say, Holy Spirit, lead me to one person for today that I can share the gospel with, that I can encourage, that I can invite to church, it becomes a lot more simple than that. And so finding out how we can, when we face opposition, when we face discouragement, we can do our part and say, this is how I served God today. You say, yeah, but Brother Peart, I'm not called into the ministry. Well, in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says that we are given the ministry of reconciliation. Every single one of us that are saved are called to be ambassadors for Christ, and that we can help people be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is not only the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And we've got that message we can give to them. And you have your ministry of reconciliation. Now this morning I was walking around and I was looking at the different missionary letters and all the different countries. You have some in France and there's Brother Landis with MTT, you know, and he's a good friend. He came to Haiti one time. And he does puppets. They bring puppets, you know, they do all the things, you know. And Haitians had never seen puppets before. And so they have those little puppets that popped up behind there and start talking. People are screaming, running out. They thought they were demon possessed. They really did. Yeah, they were screaming, running out of the church building. We had to get one of the Haitian pastors to get one of the puppets and put on his hand and like show them that it was just, you know, it was just them making it move, you know, and everything. They were scared to death. So, and we still had some adults that wouldn't come back in the church building. So we kind of said, okay, Brother Landis, let's not go too far with the puppets, you know. But you have those prayer letters out there. You have the letters and the missionaries send them in quarterly or bi-monthly or whatever it is. And over the years, we've sent a lot of prayer letters out. Every quarter, we try to send them out and just to let people know what's going on in the ministry and telling you what we're doing, what we did this last 3 months. And we have some churches that if they don't get a prayer letter from you every 3 months, they stop your support. And if it goes 6 months without you sending a letter, they drop your support and take on another missionary. That's how important prayer letters are, believe it or not. I get calls, we have some retired missionaries that were on the field for 25, 30, 35 years, some that are back off the field because of health reasons and things like that, there's not as much going on in their life, and they don't send prayer letters as regular. And we occasionally get a call from pastors that tell me what's going on. Are they even alive still? We don't know. We have to call and say, make sure you send a letter out, send a letter. So prayer letters are very, very important to let the church know what's going on. Let me report on my ministry that we had this last 3 months. And this is something we're planning on doing, so you pray for us. You know, some prayer letters, we had more that we could say about things that went on. Like one time we had, and I don't ever recommend ever doing this, and I'll never do it again, but we had 5 VBSs in 5 weeks. And we had team after team that came from the States come down. It about killed us. And so I'll never do that again. But we had a lot to put in the prayer letter that month. And then I was praying that the Lord would provide for this. Pray that we had a malnourishment clinic. And the kids would come in and we'd weigh them. You know, we work with Meds and Foods for Kids. And we would take a brachial measurement to see their level of malnourishment and all. And we would put them all on... They gave us standing orders for amoxicillin suspension. We would give them the amoxicillin because most of them had some sort of infection. And we'd put them on the, now my mind went blank. Was it abendazole, the parasitic, or mabendazole. Yeah, I get those two mixed up. But anyway, I'd put them on that because they were, most of them had parasites, you know, and everything. And we had that. So we would pray. We needed, you know, funds to do this. We needed to buy a new scale to weigh the little kids on, you know, and the infants and all. So we said, this is what we're doing. We're giving out the gospel. When we go to do these malnourishment clinics, we give the gospel, we preach to the mothers, and we share the gospel as they're waiting to go to be seen by the nurse and everything. Mixed it in with the gospel. And that's what we did. We would say, okay, we're having a a missions conference. Pray for our missions conference here in Haiti. And that's what we put in our prayer letter. Say, this is where our ministry, we want our ministry to grow. So this is how what we're doing for this next year. Pray for this in our ministry. What if each one of you had to write a prayer letter about your ministry of reconciliation? What would you write that you've done these last 3 months to spread the gospel? What would you write to say, I want my ministry to expand in this way over this next year? What would you write? Would you write, they are doing a great job? They are going to go tell the gospel to other people? Because if that's your response, it'll never get done. It is your responsibility. God has placed you in this area of South Carolina to give the gospel to people who have never heard. There are families with people with handicaps and special needs that can never come to church because they have to have someone there with their child. Or they don't even know. There are people out there that have handicapped family members that have no idea that your church is highly handicap accessible. You have no steps to come in. That needs to be on the website. That needs to be presented, that this church is highly handicap accessible. It needs to be out. There are people out there that need to hear the gospel that want to go to church. This may sound funny, but it's the truth. You need to put on there and let people know that we have handicap accessible bathrooms, because people won't go if they don't know they can't go. What will you do for your ministry this year? Calvary Baptist Church has got room for growth. What will you do for your ministry to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world? Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you left heaven. You came to this earth not as a king that you should have, but you were born in a lowly manger. And you died a cruel death on the cross to save me and my wretched self. And Lord, that's the message we have to carry to the lost and dying world. That is the message we have to carry. We have to find that one person for that day that we can give a gospel tract to, or that we can invite to come to church. Someone at the grocery store, someone at the bank, someone at the doctor's office, someone at the restaurant, someone, whatever the case may be, we have to be busy about this ministry of reconciliation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, as you see fit.